Welcome to Zichur Daf Simani. I'm member Avram Goldar, and today we're in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Samach Zayin. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara wants to know who the Tana is of the Mishnah on Daf Samach Vav Amud Beis, who stated that even commoners may wear ornate bells, typically worn by the elite, and is not concerned that they may take them off and carry them either due to the rights of comments from others or remove them to show them off to a friend. So Rav Hoshea said it's Rabbi Shimon, who states in a later Mishnah, Kol Yisrael b'nei Malachim hem. All Jews are like princes. And Rashi explains that even a poor Jew feels comfortable wearing princely adornments and will not be fazed by the rise of comments, nor take them off to show a friend. Rav said the Mishnah is referring to a case where the bells were sewn into the garments, and therefore the Mishnah even concurs with the opinion of the Rabbanan, who do not hold that all Jews are considered like princes. Point number two, the Mishnah introduces Malchukas regarding going out on Shabbos with various talismans worn by healing, such as locust eggs, a fox tooth, and a nail from a gallows that was used. Remera permits them if they were worn for healing. The Chachamim prohibit using them even during the week because of Darkei Mori. Rashi explains that they are magic and one would be transgressing B'chukosehem will say lechu, do not follow their customs, referring to the Kananim. Abai and Rava rule in accordance with Remera that any practice that has healing benefits is not prohibited, even if it's an Emorite practice. And point number three, the opening mission, the seventh parak Kol Gadol, identifies how many chatas offerings one would bring for multiple transgressions on Shabbos done b'shogeg, inadvertently. If one were completely unaware of the concept of Shabbos, he would bring one chatas for all the malachis he ever performed. If one knew about Shabbos, but lost track of which day was Shabbos, and did many malachas on each of the subsequent Shabbosim, he brings one chatas for each Shabbos. If one knew about Shabbos and which day was Shabbos, and inadvertently did many malachas on many Shabbosim, he is liable to bring a chatas for every malacha he performed. And if one performs many toldos of one of malacha, he's only liable for one chatas. All right, so let's review. Point number one, the Gemara wants to know who the Tana is of the Mishnah on Daf Samach Vav Amud Beis, who stated that even commoners may wear ornate bells typically worn by the elite, and is not concerned they may take them off and carry them due to the rights of comments from others, or remove them to show them off to a friend. Rav Hoshea said it's Rabbi Shimon, who states in a later Mishnah, Kol Yisrael b'nei Malachim hem. All Jews are like princes. And Rashi explains that even a poor Jew feels comfortable wearing princely adornments and will not be fazed by derisive comments, nor take them off to show a friend. Rav said the Mishnah is referring to a case where the bells were sewn into the garments, and therefore even concurs with the opinion of the Rabbanan, who do not hold all Jews are considered like princes. Point number two, the Mishnah introduces the Machlokas regarding going out on Shabbos with various talismans worn for healing, such as locust eggs, a fox tooth, and a nail from a gallows that was used. Rav Meir permit them if they are worn for healing. The Chachamim prohibit using them even during the week because of Darkei Mori. And Rashi explains that they are magic, and one would be transgressing B'chukosehem O'Sei Lechu, do not follow their customs, referring to the Kananim. Abai and Rava rule in accordance with Rav Meir that any practice that has healing benefits is not prohibited, even if it's an Emorite practice. And point number three, the opening mission, the seventh parak Kol Gadol, identifies how many chatas offerings one would bring for multiple transgressions on Shabbos done b'shogeg, inadvertently. If one were completely unaware of the concept of Shabbos, he would bring one chatas for all the malachis he ever performed. If one knew about Shabbos but lost track of which day was Shabbos and did many malachas on each of the subsequent Shabbosim, he brings one chatas for each Shabbos. If one knew about Shabbos and which day was Shabbos, and inadvertently did many malachas on many Shabbosim, he's liable to bring a chatas for every malacha he performed. And if one performs many toldos of one of malacha, he's only liable for one chatas. All right, so now we go to our siman. So we had many great suggestions for Samach Zayin. We had Caesar. We had a number of people suggest scissors. We even had a couple of people suggest Simon Says, which is very funny. I just wasn't sure how to do Simon Says, although where there's a will, there's a way. But I'm going to go with Sizzling Barbecue, which was suggested by Richard Berry from Passaic and Shalom Fried. I don't know where Shalom's from, but thank you, Richard and Shalom, for the Sizzling Barbecue. So here it goes. This simple Jew dressed up in his princely garments when he sizzled meat on the barbecue, wearing a fox tooth around his neck to improve his memory and stop him from being Mechal Shabbos numerous times b'shogeg. Once again, in slow motion. This simple Jew dressed up in his princely garments when he sizzled meat on the barbecue. Sizzling meat on barbecues, that means we're on Daf Samach Zayin. This simple Jew dressed up in his princely garments, which reminds us the Gemara wants to know who the Tana is of the Mishnah on Daf Samach Vav Amud Beis, who stated that even commoners may wear ornate bells typically worn by the elite and is not concerned that they may take them off and carry them due to derisive comments from others or remove them to show them off to a friend. Rav Oshia says it's Rabbi Shimon who states in a later Mishnah, Kol Yisrael b'nei Malachim hem. All Jews are like princes, and Rashi explains that even a poor Jew feels comfortable wearing princely adornments and will not be fazed by derisive comments nor take them off to show a friend. Rava said the Mishnah is referring to a case where the bells were sewn into the garments, and therefore it even concurs with the opinion of the Rabbanan, who did not hold that all Jews are considered like princes. So the simple Jew dressed up in his princely garments when he sizzled meat on the barbecue, wearing a fox tooth around his neck to improve his memory, which reminds us, the Mishnah introduces malchokas regarding going out on Shabbos with various talismans worn for healing, such as locust eggs, a fox tooth, and a nail from a gallows that was used. Rabbi Meir permits them if they're worn for healing. The Chachamim prohibit using them even during the week because of Darchei Emori. And Rashi explains that they're magic, and one would be transgressing Ubuchokosehem will say Lechu, do not follow their customs, referring to the Knanim. Abai and Rava rule, in accordance with Rabbi Meir, that any practice that has healing benefits is not prohibited, even if it was an Emori practice. So the simple Jew dressed up in his princely garments when he sizzled meat on the barbecue, wearing a fox tooth around his neck to improve his memory, and stop him from being Mechal Shabbos numerous times, b'shogeg. Which reminds us, the opening mission, the seventh parak, Klal Gadol, identifies how many chatzis offerings one would bring for multiple transgressions on Shabbos done b'shogeg. If one were completely unaware of the concept of Shabbos, he would bring one chatzis for all the malchus he ever performed. If one knew about Shabbos but lost track of which day was Shabbos and did many malachas on each of the subsequent Shabbosim, he brings one chatzis for each Shabbos. If one knew about Shabbos and which day was Shabbos, and inadvertently did many malachas and many Shabbosim, he's liable to bring a chatzis for every malach he performed. And if one performs many toldos of one of malacha, he's only liable for one chatzis. So once again, this simple Jew dressed up in his princely garments when he sizzled meat on the barbecue, wearing a fox tooth around his neck to improve his memory, and stop him from being Mechal Shabbos numerous times, b'shogeg. All right, now it's time for a four blah bat chazara. Daf Samech Gimel, so the simon for Samech Gimel are segues. So here goes. The Yeshiva Barchim on segues, that means we're on Daf Samech Gimel. The Yeshiva Barchim on segues were dressed for battle with their weapons, which reminds us, the Mishnah state the Rebbe Eliezer holds that weapons are considered takshitin ornaments and therefore can be worn on Shabbos. The Chachamim disagree and say that weapons are a ganai, they're a disgusting thing, not an ornament, and therefore they may not be worn on Shabbos. Their proof of this is that we find a nevuah that states, "Yisal goy el goy cherev, lo yimadu al milchama." Nation will not lift sword against nation, and war will not be taught anymore. By the fact that weapons will be destroyed in the times of Mashiach, we see that they're disgusting and not ornaments. In the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer answered that the weapons are going to be destroyed because at that point they will no longer be needed, not because they're a ganai. So the Yeshiva Barchim and segues were dressed for battle with their weapons, telling their mothers they were practicing for the times of Mashiach, which reminds us, Shmuel holds, Ein bein olam hazeh l'umas Mashiach el shibud goyas b'levad. There is no difference between the world and the days of Mashiach except that there will be no more subjugation of the Jewish people in exile. As it states in the Pasuk, Ki lo yachto al evyom mikerva aretz, for the poor will not cease from the midst of the land. Weapons will still exist in the times of Mashiach. The prophecy about weapons not existing in the future, as well as all the other nebuahs about the future, was referring to a later period of time, the time of Olam Haba. And the Marsha understands Olam Haba here to mean during the time of Tchias HaMesim, of resurrection of the dead, when there will be a physical type of existence. So the Yeshiva Barchim on segues were dressed for battle with their weapons, telling the mothers they were practicing from the times of Mashiach, and they needed their leg garters to hold out their stockings. Which reminds us, the Mishnah state that a beritz is tahora, and one can go out wearing it on Shabbos. The Gemara explains that a beritz is a leg garter, a band worn on the calf of the leg to hold up stockings. Rashi explains that the beritz is tahora, meaning it's not susceptible to tumah, because it does not directly serve the woman. Rather, it's only a kli that is there to serve another kli. Its purpose is to hold up the stockings. She's permitted to wear it on Shabbos since there's no concern she'll take it off to show a friend, because then her leg will become uncovered. Daf Samach Dalad. So we've done some simon surgery here on Samach Dalad, based on the excellent input of Zichru member Adam Pastor, pointing out secret is hard to kind of get down because it's a concept, and I fully agree, I had a difficult time with this. So he came up with secret agent, which I think is excellent. So Samach Dalad is going to become secret agent to make it a little bit easier. So here goes. The secret agent sackcloth. Secret agent, that means we're on Daf Samach Dalad. The secret agent's sackcloth, made from spun and woven thread from goat's hair, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a braisa which lists articles in makabel tumah from a dead sheretz. Included in this list is sock, which is made from goat's hair that is spun into coarse thread. The braisa additionally teaches that just as sock, which is mentioned straight out in the Torah, that's makabel tumah from a sheretz is made from spun and woven thread, so too only items that are made from spun and woven thread are makabel tumah from a sheretz. This would exclude ropes and measuring strings from being makabel tumah, since they're made from goat's hair that has been twisted but not spun. So the secret agent's sackcloth, made from spun and woven thread from goat's hair, was where the atonement gift was kept, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the pasuk in the parsha when the army returns from the battle against Midian, that says, "V'yiksav Moshe al pekudei achal." Moshe was angry with the commanders of the army and seeks to understand what made him angry. Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Baravu that when Moshe saw the commanders offer an atonement gift, he suspected perhaps the soldiers that fought in the campaign had sinned with the women. So the warriors explained to Moshe that even though they did not sin with the Menos Midian, they sought to bring a kapara for their improper thoughts. So the secret agent's sackcloth, made from spun and woven thread from goat's hair, was where the atonement gift was kept, hidden under cloths that got wet on Shabbos, nestled away in the Chadri Chadarim. Which reminds us, Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav, "Kol makum she'asur chachamif neymar s'ayin, afil b'chadri chadarim asur," wherever the Rabbanim prohibited an act because you're concerned it gives the appearance of wrongdoing, the act is prohibited even in one's most private chambers. The Gemara explains that this rule is subject to a machlokas tanaim brought in a braisa. According to one opinion, if one's clothes became soaked with rainwater on Shabbos, one may spread them out to dry in a secluded area, but not in an area open to public view, lest people suspect they wash them on Shabbos. So this tanaim does not hold the rule of afil b'chadri chadarim. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon forbid one to do so even in the secluded area because they do hold of afil b'chadri chadarim. Daf Samechei, so the symbol for Samechei is Se, sheep. So here it goes. The flock of sheep, that means we're on Daf Samechei. The flock of sheep with gold teeth and flasks of balsam to cover their smell, which reminds us that Abaye identified three tanaim who held that a person will not come to show an item and inadvertently carry if the item causes one embarrassment. Rebbe permits a woman to go out with a gold tooth, since she will not show it to others out of embarrassment. Rebbe Ezer permits a woman to go out with a kovelas and a b'slochish palyaton, spice bundles and a flask of balsam oil, since showing them to others would reveal that she has body odor. And Rav Shimon Elazar permits a woman to go out with anything that's worn beneath her hat for fear she'll feel shame if her hair is exposed. So the flock of sheep with gold teeth and a flask of balsam to cover their smell like to swim in the flowing waters of the Euphrates and Nisan, which reminds us, one of the three practices Shmuel's father did regarding his daughters was to build mikvahs for them during Nisan, instead of letting them immerse in the Euphrates, because he held the increase coming from the flowing rainwater from Eretz Yisrael would be the majority of water and nullify the river water, since flowing rainwater does not purify. Rainwater only purifies when it's stationary. Shmuel disagreed with this ruling, since he held a river primarily increases from its own springs. Therefore, there is no concern of the majority of the water coming from flowing rainwater. So the flock of sheep with gold teeth and flasks of balsam to cover their smell like to swim in the flowing waters of the Euphrates and Nisan, led by their shepherd, who used nuts as buttons. Which reminds us, Abaye asks what the law is regarding whether a woman can do a rama, use a clever loophole, and fasten her cloak with a nut to take it out for her son to play in within the Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos, based on a later mission regarding using loopholes to save clothing from a fire. So does the Tanu holds one can use the loophole of wearing many items at once to save clothing from a fire permitted, or perhaps it's only the case of a fire that he permits the loophole because the person will otherwise might come to extinguish the fire? Or does the Tana who holds one cannot use the loophole of wearing many garments in the case of the fire prohibit using the nut in the cloak as well? Or perhaps, since donning many articles of clothing is an acceptable method of transport, he prohibits the loophole so people will not come to carry, but using the nut as a button is unusual and therefore it's permitted. The Gemara leaves it as a teku. Daf Samach Vav. So the symbol for Samach Vav is sewing, and we have a tailor. A tailor is sewing. So here goes. The amputee tailor. Tailor, that means we're on Daf Samach Vav. The amputee tailor with a wooden shoe full of rags, which reminds us, the mission state regarding a wooden shoe worn by amputees, imyesho beis kibul kasisin tame, if it has a receptacle for rags for him to put his leg on top of, then it can be makabel tumah. There's a machlokas amarayim if it's makabel tumah smidras, a tumah acquired by an object used with the intention to support one's weight, whether through sitting, lying, standing, or leaning. Tumah is only transmitted this way from someone who became tame as a result of a bodily emission, such as a zav, or nida. Abaye holds that it's not makabel tumah smidras, since its primary purpose is to disguise the fact that the person is missing a foot, not to support his weight. He brings a proof from a braisa that states that a walking stick is not makabel tumah, even though it's sometimes used to support one's weight. Rava holds that the wooden shoe is makabel tumah smidras, even though its primary purpose is not to support one's weight. He brings a proof from a child's wagon that can be makabel tumah smidras, even though it's only used occasionally to bear the child's weight. So the amputee tail with a wooden shoe full of rags tied his one shoe strap on his son's left arm, which reminds us the Mishnah on the Amud Bey states, Habanim Yotzim Beksharim. Young boys may go out on Shabbos with knots. The Gemara explains that these knots are the ones that Avin Bar Huma spoke about in the name of Rav Chama Bar Guria. He said that to comfort a son who yearns after his father who's parting from him, the father should take a strap from his own right shoe and tie it around the boy's left arm. The Gemara adds that it would be dangerous and potentially plunge the son into melancholy if the father were to do the opposite and take the strap from his left shoe and tie it around his son's right arm. So the amputee tail with a wooden shoe full of rags tied his one shoe strap on his son's left arm and told him to recite incantations in his mother's name while he was away. Which reminds us, Abai shares a few rules his adopted mother taught him about incantations. All incantations are recited with the name of the person's mother. Any incantations that are clearly stated to be repeated a set number of times should be repeated according to that number. And any incantation that's not stated about how many times it should be repeated 41 times. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Here goes number 1. Which daf do you learn about the Tuma of Sock? That's on daf Samach Dalet. Good. Question number 2. Which daf do you have the question whether someone can do a practice, which is Darkei Mori, if it's going to lead to healing? That's on daf Samach Zayin. Good. Number 3. Which daf does Abai give over rules for incantations that he was taught? That's on daf Samach Vav. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we have the question what it will be like in the times of Mashiach? That's on daf Samach Gimel. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we learn that a sandal masumah with decorative nails is permissible to wear? That's on daf Samach. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we have the Mishnah of Klal Gadol and learn about the various types of shkagos on Shabbos? That's on daf Samach Zayin. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we learn the criteria to have a proven kameya and for expert writers of kameyas? That's on daf Samach Aleph. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we have the question where there is tumas midras for an amputee shoe, wooden shoe? That's on daf Samach Vav. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we have the question whether a woman can wear an ear shel za'av? That's on daf Nun Tes. Great. And finally, question number 10. Which daf do we have the question whether Rama can be used to carry a nut out to a child in which is rubbing by being used as a button? That's on daf Samach Hei. Great. And now the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Number 1. Which daf do we learn what one does if he forgot to join a zimun? That's on daf Nun. Great. Question number 2. Which daf do we learn that the fruits of the 5 grains has the bracha of mazonos? That's on daf Lamed Vav. Good. And finally, question number 3. Which daf do we learn that davening should be done b'toch simcha shal mitzvah? That's on daf Lamed Aleph. Great. That concludes the pop quiz plus the 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.